This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday, the 6th of February. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Ruby Susan. On tonight's show, we get in touch with our inner circle as we discuss a groundbreaking new health campaign targeting all LGBTIQ people with a cervix in New South Wales. We also touch on the importance of health programs creating a completely inclusive approach to both communication and clinical practice so that all members of the LGBTIQ community can get the access to the health and support that they need. Plus, we head to Western Australia and speak to two regional cities that are celebrating their first Pride events, proving you don't need a big parade to show your pride.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's time to get in touch with your inner circle, literally. As a new campaign launched today, it builds awareness and increased participation in the new National Cervical Screening Program that comes into effect from the 1st of December 2017. Dina Curie spoke to New South Wales' leading LGBTI health organisation, ACON, about the inner circle and creating an inclusive approach to health for every member of the LGBTIQ community with a cervix.
There are subjects that we don't talk about enough, and sometimes it's hard to bring up issues around people's health, about smoking or drinking or a whole range of things. And I think what we're trying to do is be a bit more inclusive, a bit more open, and hopefully therefore generate more of these conversations where people actually do engage in those support structures that they have in their life in a different way.
Let's talk about Pap's baby. Let's talk about he and she. Let's talk about they and them and everybody that's at risk. Let's talk about PAPS. Let's talk about PAPS. Let's talk about PAPS. Let's talk about PAPS.
A groundbreaking new health campaign targeting all LGBTIQ people with a cervix in New South Wales has been released today by New South Wales' leading LGBTI health organisation, ACON. The Inner Circle aims to build awareness and increase participation in the new National Cervical Screening Program that came into effect from the 1st of December 2017. I spoke to ACON's acting CEO, Karen Price, and Dr. Viv McGregor from the Inner Circle team about this important initiative, starting off by asking Dr. McGregor what is involved when getting a Pap smear.
I think most people know that the Pap test basically took cells from your cervix to see if there were any kind of precancerous changes that might indicate cancer down the line. And now the cervical screening test basically tests for the presence of HPV, which is the human papillomavirus, which causes 99.7% of all cervical cancers. So basically this new test will catch things a lot earlier. So we're getting the HPV before it turns into the precancer.
Not participating in cervical screening is the biggest risk factor for cervical cancer. A 2014 survey found that 20% of lesbian, bisexual and queer women had never had a Pap test. People with trans experience face significant issues relating to cervical screening, such as trans men who report postponing or avoiding screening out of fear of discrimination and respect. We know that our communities rarely discuss cervical cancer or cervical screening with their peer networks. We also know that within LGBTI communities, a diverse range of people need to understand how to take care of their cervix and to feel empowered and comfortable to do so.
A key goal of this campaign is to really have those conversations in your trusted friendship and other networks. So that's, I guess, what the Inner Circle alludes to, both your trusted group of friends and chosen families and close personal networks, where we don't often have these kind of conversations, not just about cervical screening, but our health in general, really. So this is about raising awareness within those networks. It's also about the idea that we need to form a trusted and good relationship, a healthy relationship with our healthcare providers, and that we need to be looking at how we can create those good and trusting and honest relationships with healthcare providers by inviting them into your inner circle, essentially. So the inner circle also refers to a part of your body that we don't talk about very much, because your cervix is actually circular. So the concept is pervasive in terms of trying to raise awareness, increase participation, and, you know, community-based support, because we know our communities are actually pretty good at looking after each other, and this is just another way we do that.
These conversations are just as important within and with members of our trans communities, who can sometimes feel uncomfortable or ashamed when talking about their biology and getting the treatment that they need and deserve.
This campaign and the service that's attached to it, called the Checkout Clinic, is essentially a very inclusive approach where we basically want to talk to people, regardless of their gender or sexual orientation, about the body part that we need to focus on here, and actually take all of the things that we've been told. So for lesbian women, often it was told that because you don't have sex with men, you don't need a pap smear, and all the other barriers that we know exist for various groups within our communities, whether it's the difficulties of fronting up to a doctor and having to explain your gender history, being able to get the tests that you need to actually maintain your sexual health. So the material on the website is I think, very helpful. It's very practically oriented, and it's about... It comes from research that we've done with both cisgendered women, but also men, people with a trans experience, about what makes this hard. And some of the tips that we're sharing through the campaign and the personal stories are very much about that. So it's that peer-based learning and also experience sharing that I think hopefully will make a bit of a difference.
Yeah, I think that's really important for us in doing the strategies that we've published online on the website, but also in terms of developing our model for clinical practice at the Checkout Clinic. It was all based on trauma-informed care and the understanding that not only do a lot of people in our community have sort of personal histories of trauma, but also that we have histories of trauma with institutions, and that a lot of our traumas actually come from interacting with a medical industry that doesn't understand us, that deliberately misgenders us, that sort of renders us invisible. So the practices that we've kind of implemented all come from the idea that we take the barriers to cervical screening and to STI testing and we turn them into clinical practice. So every step of the way in the clinic is based on trauma-informed care, is gender affirmative, and is really about putting medical care back in the hands of the client and in the hands of our community.
ACON's efforts to increase cervical screening participation also include the establishment of a new weekly clinic in partnership with Family Planning New South Wales. This checkout clinic specifically provides reproductive and sexual health, including cervical cancer screening for LGBTIQ people. These innovative partnerships will deliver high-quality health services in a community-based setting. The Checkout Clinic will be offering free services for Medicare-eligible clients or low-cost, confidential sexual health and cervical screening services for LGBTIQ people. Everybody needs access to appropriate and specialist services to make sure they're getting the best healthcare they can. Family Planning New South Wales will be leading all aspects of the clinical management of the service alongside ACON's trained peer workforce, which will provide a welcome and distinctive clinical experience.
It's been an amazing partnership with Family Planning New South Wales, and we really have married like a community peer workforce to the nurses and the clinicians that we work with Family Planning, and being able to map out and sort of come and meet in the middle and go like, this is our area of expertise, which is in, you know, knowing what our community needs and understanding the barriers to healthcare with their clinical expertise. And that's been like incredibly fruitful because both of us came into it with like really open minds and flexibility, and it's allowed us to build a really, really unique clinical experience in that you come in and you speak to a trained LGBTIQ peer first. And we provide you with all the information about STI testing and cervical screening. This is not a space where you ever have to educate a health professional about your body, your sexuality, or your gender identity. We relieve that burden of education and really put the onus on us to be educators. And then, you know, we're a soft landing for going into a clinical space because you're talking to one of your peers. So it's going to be one of the most gentle clinical environments on the face of the planet.
This kind of partnership is something we need to see more of. For a long time within our community, the focus has been on the health of men who have sex with men, but opening up not only the conversation about cervical screening past cisgendered women and recognising the diversity and need for a different approach on all levels of people's health is an important step in the right direction for tackling health needs in an inclusive way.
I guess it's a direction we'd like to see expanded upon and become more of the norm in our community. So I think LGBTIQ health is... We have friendship groups and we have all sorts of networks, and very rarely are we kind of only ever talking to a particular type of person in the community. So I think the more we know about these issues in general, it also helps... It helps to break down the barriers around these subjects and be, I guess, that... openness and reducing kind of, I guess, taboo subjects that we can't... If we can talk better together about these things across the communities that we mix in and party with and support in various other ways, I think our health will be better off for it.
Credit where credit's due. The Inner Circle campaign is funded through a grant from the Cancer Institute of New South Wales. The Institute recognised the need to take a targeted approach to educating people about the changes to the program, the new cervical screening test, and in turn increase participation. The National Cervical Screening Program, which sees the Pap test replaced by a more accurate cervical screening test, which looks for infection with human papillomavirus, is an important change to the way we approach cervical screening. Other key changes include raising the screening age from 18 to 25 and increasing the time between tests from 2 years to five for those whose tests are clear.
Some credit really should be paid to the Cancer Institute New South Wales. I believe that this is a groundbreaking campaign in many ways. Governments are not great at usually funding good quality work that respects and appropriately represents our communities. And partnering with a community-based organisation like ACON in this instance, I think the Cancer Institute has recognised that we have a different way of communicating with our communities, a different way and a more authentic way, I think, of representing our communities. And so I guess I would encourage others to think about this in their own state or territory and or the Commonwealth to really perhaps refresh the way that we do health messaging across the board, because I actually think this is a more effective way of engaging with people that you would like to participate in health-seeking behaviours. So Cancer Institute New South Wales deserves some credit for funding this work.
They absolutely deserve credit for taking on board, in all of our meetings, the language around LGBTIQ people with a cervix. Like, that in and of itself is an innovative, progressive way to talk about cervical screening. We're talking about an area of health that is consistently across the board talked about as only to do with women, and that is not true. So to have the Cancer Institute be so supportive of us using this language in the campaign, that was really, really cool.
Let's talk about Pap, baby. Let's talk about he and she. Let's talk about they and them and everybody that's at risk. Let's talk about Paps. Let's talk about Paps. Let's talk about Paps. Let's talk about Paps.
That was Dina Curie reporting on The Inner Circle with Acting CEO of ACON, Karen Price, and Dr. Viv McGregor.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
The small WA town of Margaret River, 3 hours south of Perth, will hold its inaugural Mardi Gras celebration next weekend, a free festival celebrating Rainbow Pride and host Margaret River Region's first public same-sex marriage wedding. Dina Curie spoke to Mardi Gras founder Rebecca Hannon about how this event came about.
Where it all started from was I thought about doing a charity dinner, and because I thought that I could manage that by myself. And I just had this vision of drag queens driving through Margaret River in a convertible. And I was chatting to a friend of mine about that, and he was like, that's a cool idea. Why don't we start Margaret River's own Mardi Gras? I was like, ooh, I like that. And then spoke to a couple more people, and I spoke to a few people that I really trusted, and because I got a good response from them, it kind of made me brave enough to speak to a few more people and get some on board. That it's just exploded from there. So it's just a really fun thing to do, and I'm loving it. Like, it's great that it's a good base for future years to come. I'm looking forward to when we can actually have a proper parade through town too.
Last year, during the postal survey, Rebecca Hannon, the founder of Margaret River's first Pride event, Mardi Gras, gave birth to an idea that creates a fun, inclusive annual event that promotes Margaret River not only as a wedding destination for all weddings, but a place to celebrate equality for everyone.
It came about from lots of discussions on ways we could bring the community back together after a really long and hurtful plebiscite. And we had lots of support from the local community here, so we sort of wanted to be able to bring everybody back together again after it.
And you thought, why not start a Pride Festival? Start off small.
Yeah. I know, totally. Well, we also had, because I was pretty vocal throughout the campaigning, and there were so many people that offered support, even people that I didn't know. And then when the actual yes vote came through, a lot of people kept saying to me, well, you have to get married. We want to share that with you. And one of my partners, Sunny, in our hearts, we are married. We had the full wedding back in 2005. And so we thought, well, we might as well legalise that and bring the community together and celebrate. We've got a wonderful community spirit down here, and there's so many layers to why we wanted to start this. The other point is that it's a fantastic wedding destination, and Margaret River is a very diverse community, and everybody's really got on board. Like, so far, we've got 54 businesses and people that have actually come on board and donated either their goods, their services, or their products by way of in-kind donations or sponsorship to be able to show their support. So that's just been really phenomenal. Because we only decided to do this on the actual day that the laws were passed, the 6th of December, I think, isn't it? So this has been pulled together really, really very quickly. So we weren't able to do like a march or anything like that. So we've just sort of adapted around that for this year. Yeah, so it's different in the fact that we're not going to have a big parade, but we are going to have a wonderful festival of people being together and celebrating. In regional areas too, it's a little bit harder for younger people to be able to comfortably come out. So the other thing that I'm wanting to create from that is that feeling of inclusion and knowing that it's safe and it's okay as well, that there's a network and help to build a network, because that's something that we don't have a lot of down here. I mean, there are some groups and people, but it's not as big as what it is up in the city. So sort of helping to bring those people to get together to form new networks and support groups is a really important thing to do as well.
This Saturday, the River Hotel in Margaret River is transformed into an inclusive space filled with entertainment, including music, dancing, drag queens, cool cars and more.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Perth Drag Queens. We've been working quite closely with them. They're headlining the event and they've just been awesome. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them. We've got Jordan Bruno as our MC. We've got some performances from some local performers down here. So there's the Margaret River Community Band that's going to be playing. There's a surprise performance. And we've also got the belly dancers that are going to be putting on a show. Unicorn rides for kids and bouncy castles and face painting and hair painting. So there's going to be quite a lot of activity. We've got the River Hotel is our major sponsor, and we've also got Willow Grill, who are our gold sponsors, and they're going to be having some really nice gourmet treats down there as well for us.
But that's not all. They have a competition to be the Queen of Mardi Gras, where anyone can channel their inner queen and show Margaret River what you've got.
We do have a competition to be the Queen of Mardi Gras. Yeah, and that's an inclusive competition, so anybody over 18 can participate in that. So you've basically got to dress in your best drag. It's a bold competition that we thought we'd put out there and see what happens for a little bit of fun. A lot of people really like to dress up as well, don't they, and just get into the spirit of it. We've got Scarlett Adams from Perth Drag Queens, and she's given her top 10 tips, which are going to be released soon in our paper and our releases on how to dress like a true queen.
When making an inclusive event in a regional space, it's important to think of everyone, not just those in the LGBTIQ community, which is what makes regional pride celebrations truly special and different to the big parties in the main cities.
Inclusion is a really important part of what we're doing. We're wanting to create an inclusive community. There's been so much exclusion that's gone on, and we want to do the complete opposite to that. Strong, healthy, thriving communities are really important, and it's really just about being a bit brave and testing the boundaries a little and bringing people together in a really fun, flamboyant way.
It doesn't mean it's all rainbows and flowers in regional Australia, but it isn't as isolating as people may think, Rebecca adds.
Absolutely, yeah. I have seen a couple of little negative comments from people sort of basically implying to leave it up in the city, and that's what I think is really sad, because I believe that you should be able to be comfortable and be yourself wherever you are.
Mardi Gras is happening this Saturday at the Margaret River Shire Gardens, celebrating equality and pride. If you'd like to find out more, you can head to mardigras.com.au. That's mardigras.com.au.
We want to promote Margaret River as being a great region for the LGBTI community.
Anywhere you can get a unicorn ride is a good place for the LGBTI community. That was Dina Curie reporting on the Mardi Gras Festival with founder Rebecca Hannon.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Now we head 230 kilometres south to Perth. To Brusselton, who are planning their inaugural Pride Festival next month. LGBTIQ events were important for the region to help people connect and build resilience in the community. Darcy Maheen spoke with Sue about the event, which sees out Southwest celebrate Brusselton's Pride.
Brusselton, a town in Western Australia, is holding its first Pride Festival next month. The event will host drag queens, burlesque performers and various music acts, with the Tomahawks headlining. We spoke to Susan Shand, the project event manager, to ask how it all got started.
When we came to Brusselton and there's a group of us got together, that we created a support meetup and events group called Spectrum Southwest, because we found that there was nothing in the area. So from that group, our vision was ultimately to start having monthly meetups and give people an opportunity to come out, meet up, and you know, not kind of hide away, because there's quite a big community of LGBT plus in the Southwest area, but nobody ever seemed to come out or do anything. So we got the meetings away, and then after that we decided that it would be really great if we could host a gay pride for Brusselton, basically. There wasn't anything like that. Some of the surrounding towns from Perth had started to get some things together, so we set about building a group up and then eventually having this very first Brusselton Pride, which is about to happen on the 24th of March.
With community interest and support, many people have been getting involved.
So our project team consists of 8 people, some local people, some people that have moved down from Perth, and myself and my partner, who have moved over from the UK. We've initiated it, basically, with the Spectrum Southwest crew. There's 4 of us. We initiated it, and then we've reached out to the community. And there's been so much support from all of the local businesses. They all want to get involved. Everybody's quite hyped up about it, really. And probably something to do with the recent, you know, marriage equality vote going ahead. So, yes, it's going to be quite big, we think.
A Pride Festival is definitely a first for Brusselton. But when a rural town tries to arrange an event like this, what's the community response?
When we kind of first put it out there, there was a lot of scepticism. People weren't quite sure that it would come off, being that it's a small regional community. I mean, the population of Brusselton is about around 36,000-37,000 people, but it is a city. So, you know, like I said, we had a little bit of people doubting that it might come off, but then the more momentum that the event's building, it's kind of, like I said, local communities got involved, people from all over WA have got involved, and even people like yourself from over the eastern states have got involved now and are really promoting the event. So like you said, yeah, it probably will start off being quite small and we look to build upon it year upon year. But if we can make the first one as fabulous as possible, then hopefully the word spreads and it becomes a bigger event.
There's quite a lot on for the first Brusselton Pride.
We're running the event from the Art Geo Complex down in Brusselton. It's at the bottom of the aptly named Queen Street, which we're planning on having a small parade rally down Queen Street. When we get down to the bottom of Queen Street, we have the Art Geo Complex, which is an outdoor area, you know, with a built-in stage. We've got bands, we've got a drag show coming down from Perth. We've got local bands, we've got local dance groups. We've also got burlesque dancers from down in Perth coming down. And the headlining act is the Tomahawks. They're a female act in WA that are becoming quite big, and they're going to headline for us.
The event also promises to be inclusive, welcoming all members of the community.
So the event obviously is targeted at obviously bringing members of the LGBT community together, but also local members of the community to help support and just really see that the community is there and it is thriving, and there's nothing to be, you know, worried about. Of course, it's like an educational thing for the local community to come out and take part in it and to, you know, to get involved. It's for everybody. It's a family event. Everybody's welcome along. And like I said, it's an afternoon family-friendly event. So just come down, show your support. And from far and wide, everybody's welcome.
And with its first festival looking so promising, what could the future hold for Busselton Pride?
I think where I come from in the UK, Manchester is like the biggest Pride closest to us, and it always happens at the end of the summer. It's on a public holiday weekend in August, which is end of summer for the UK, and it's just that kind of, in the UK I could go from May all the way through at the end of August, going to a different Pride every weekend if I wanted to, and I could go and have a party in every just different city, given they're a lot closer over there. But, you know, the Manchester one is a big, significant one because it kind of marks the end of the summer. Everybody's looking forward to it. It spans over about 4 or 5 days. So with Busselton, that's what we kind of wanted to do. We wanted to say, like, all right, so you've the Perth Pride's up in November, you know, then you've got the Pride, you've got the Midsummer Festival in Melbourne, then you've got the big Sydney Pride Festival, and then at the end of the summer, we've got something that's happening rather than it just all being November and then nothing happens for another year.
To find out more, go to Busselton Pride on Facebook or Instagram, or you can send your questions and queries to busseltonpride@hotmail.com.
That was Darcy Meeham reporting with Sue from Busselton Pride.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.